Welcome to Today on Broadway for Tuesday, December 6th, 2016. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway Stars James Marino.
James, before we got started, we wanted to give a shout out to some friends of ours on the literal opposite side of the globe. They are the folks behind a very unique and very specific podcast that is theater-centric called Exit Pursued by a Bear. They have just a really funny, weird little podcast. I don't know if that's an offensive thing to say, but it's weird. But I love it. It's a great kind of weird where they discuss a certain play and its history and its background, and then try to come up with the absolute worst way that it could be staged. It's a lot of fun. They've done a lot of classic shows. It's one of a kind, and it's, you know, as I said, across the other side of the world. They're based in Australia, so you've got the accents and the weird Aussie humor that is always super funny to me. I was a big Crocodile Dundee fan growing up, I guess, but this is a fun one, James.
Yeah, I've listened to a few of them, and they did The Seagull, and anybody who's ever done Chekhov, I think would find a lot of humor in what they have to say. The podcasts are about 30, 45 minutes. A lot of fun, a lot of swearing, which we all do when we do Chekhov.
Crikey!
So there's that. And we're so excited that, you know, people are doing these type of podcasts because it just makes it better for everybody out there. So check it out. You can find them on, we can find them on iTunes, and they're also on SoundCloud. It's Exit Pursued by a Bear, and so much fun. And they also brought us some news about King Kong because they saw it in Melbourne, and they said it needs a lot of work.
Yeah. And one of the reasons they said was because, like SpongeBob in Chicago, it has had a lot of different composers involved in doing different songs. And apparently, from all the reports in Chicago, SpongeBob made that work really well. According to our friends down under, the result wasn't as good with King Kong, at least not in the version that they saw in Melbourne. So if it ever makes its way up here, hopefully it'll find a way to congeal the score before it does.
You know, and with the Harry Potter going into the Lyric, or rumors there of such, or high-level discussions of it happening.
Well, they sent out a press release. I think it's pretty I would be shocked if it doesn't actually happen.
You know, I'm saying Harry Potter in the Lyric, and they sent out a press release, said that we're talking about bringing Harry Potter into the Lyric.
Yeah, it was the weirdest thing. Yeah,
exactly. But that was the rumor of King Kong was going to go into the Lyric, so there's not a lot of really large theaters in the Broadway space.
But seriously, I mean, Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, it's got 6 months before it closes?
No? It's going to make way for The Bodyguard.
You said it. You were the one who raved about it.
I took a lot of crap about that today. A lot of listeners are like,
"Yes, but
are
friend,
you smoking?"
Yes, but our friend Cooper's Chew Toy down in Atlanta was really excited to hear that. So
that's true.
Because it is going on a tour and it's hitting the Fox in the spring. So you made at least one person happy.
We, you know, one at a time. That's all I can ask for. If I can just change one life. All right. So first up, the Public Theater to bring Lynn Nottage's Sweat to Broadway this spring.
Yeah, yesterday, producers Stuart Thompson and Louise Gund announced that following a sold-out, critically acclaimed engagement at New York's Public Theater, Sweat, the new play by Pulitzer Prize winner Lynn Nottage, directed by Kate Wariski, will transfer to Broadway's Studio 54. Performances of Sweat will begin on Broadway on March 4th, ahead of a March 26th official opening. Tickets for the Broadway engagement go on sale this Friday, and the off-Broadway production is currently running at the Public and is scheduled to run through December 18th. The show notes describe the show thusly: with warm humor and tremendous heart, Sweat tells the story of a group of friends who have spent their lives sharing drinks, secrets, and laughs while working together on the line of a factory floor. But when playoffs, see where my mind is on football. But when layoffs and picket lines begin to chip away at their trust, the friends find themselves pitted against each other in the hard fight to stay afloat. Two things, James. First, you saw the show last week, I believe.
Yes.
So how do you think it's going to transfer from the 184-seat Martinson Theater to the 1,000-ish seat Studio 54.
That's interesting. I hadn't thought of it in that respect. I was hoping that it would transfer and have another life because I think it's a really worthy show. And we talked about it on This Week on Broadway, and Michael Portantier brought up a really good point regarding Sweat, is the language of Sweat, the language of the characters in Sweat was a little bit expository. It doesn't seem like they're going to work on it, but maybe, I don't know. But I really enjoyed the show, and I think it's a very important show to be done, and it's about relationships and unions and the working person and management, and a lot of stuff that's going on right now could have been done. You know, they could have staged Sweat in an air conditioner factory in Indiana, and it would have been identical.
Okay.
I think it's a really important show to be doing right now. 1,000 seats in Studio 54, I think it – wow, I didn't think about that aspect of it.
Well, the other part of it is that obviously we all know, and we've talked about this when I talk about my great big theater real estate spreadsheet, Studio 54 is owned by the Roundabout Theater Company. They do not have a show scheduled in their season for a while. I don't think they actually have announced one at all. So what do you think about the fact that the Public Theater, I guess, is officially renting Studio 54, or maybe it's going to somehow be a co-production? I haven't heard anything about how that would work, but I would imagine it's a rental, right?
Yeah, I would imagine it's a rental. I mean, I would imagine, you know, it's interesting because very often the large theater owners, the Nederlanders, Schubert, Jamsons, become co-producing partners of any show that goes into their theater. So, I mean, theoretically, I guess 54 is a rental, and that, you know, if Roundabout as the landlord would become a partner, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
It's interesting. Yeah. Well, when we get more information on that, you know, we'll obviously figure that out as it gets closer. But I just thought that was it was interesting. You know, it's an interesting collaboration with two of the most established not-for-profit theater groups in New York City collaborating in some way or another.
All right. So let's move on to last week's grosses. What's happening there?
Well, unsurprisingly, after the Thanksgiving holiday the week before, Broadway grosses came back down to earth a little bit last week, with the collective box office being down a little over $6 million week to week, which is a 17.7% drop from the holiday week. That's a pretty big number. But despite the decline, there were 9 shows that saw black numbers last week. They were, in order from the biggest gain to the smallest, Beautiful, Heisenberg, Jersey Boys, The Cherry Orchard, which closed on Sunday, On Your Feet, La Liaison d'Anjou, Kinky Boots, In Transit, and A Bronx Tale, the musical. Overall, Hamilton, per the usual, was the only show above 2 million, followed by The Lion King, Wicked, Aladdin, The Book of Mormon, The Front Page, The Great Comet, Jersey Boys, and Beautiful, which were all above $1 million. With In Transit seeing about an $11,000 increase and The Encounter dropping nearly $76,000, the Simon McBurney trip down the Amazon was the lowest grossing show of the week, bringing in only $183,000. James, some of these trends that we've seen throughout the fall here, things like Great Comet doing very well, some of the shows that have announced closing continuing to be fairly solid, Jersey Boys back over $1 million. You know, things are doing, you know, are pretty much online. Obviously, the balance sheet looked a bit red this week after some record-breaking numbers around Thanksgiving. But as a whole, Broadway was only down 2% or $600,000 from last year's totals from this week, despite having 4 fewer shows running. So it's actually, you know, pretty much on par despite how bloody it looks.
Well, I tell you, you know, Hamilton down just to $2 million. You know, obviously the conservative protests have taken hold.
Well, I mean, yeah, obviously it dropped below 3 million. So clearly the boycott is in
the
major effect.
The boycott is working. You know, yeah. I'd imagine it's probably going to post a closing notice really soon.
I'm surprised it hasn't already.
This is true. All right. What's up in the show and casting news?
Well, first up, James, we knew this was coming, but we didn't know the specific dates. But yesterday, the Denver Center for the Performing Arts announced the official dates for the world premiere stage adaptation of Disney's Frozen. The musical will play the Mile High City from August 17th through October 1st of 2017, before a planned Broadway run in the spring of 2018. Current season subscribers out in Denver can purchase additional tickets beginning next Monday, with single tickets being available this coming spring. Casting and Broadway dates obviously will be announced in the future. Yesterday, we also learned that the great Norm Lewis will round out the cast of Roundabout's Kiss Me Kate benefit concert next Monday. He will play Harrison Howell, joining Kelly O'Hara, Will Chase, Robert Fairchild, Helena York, Chuck Cooper, Richard Kind, and more. The benefit concert reading will take place on Monday, December 12th of 2016 at 7:30 p.m. at the aforementioned Studio 54. We briefly talked about this other show yesterday, but later in the day on Monday, the Atlantic Theater Company announced that The Band's Visit has been extended through New Year's Day. The show officially opens on Thursday and was originally scheduled to run through December 18th. James, this is one, if you remember, Michael Riedel said he'd already started to hear rumblings about a potential Broadway transfer for maybe next fall or perhaps over the summer. The star of The Band's Visit is Tony Shalhoub. He obviously has a Broadway engagement for this spring already lined up in Arthur Miller's The Price, so he was unavailable for the spring. But if this is already extending into the new year at Atlantic, it opens this Thursday, so the reviews will be coming out. If they're pretty strong, this could just be another feather in the cap to push it towards a potential Broadway transfer.
Yeah, that's really exciting, and I haven't seen it, but buzz around town and friends of mine who have seen it have been very excited about it, so hopefully it all lines up.
Yeah. All right. And finally, in this section, yesterday, the Vineyard Theater announced its cast for the new Greg Pearce and John Kander musical, Kid Victory. As we've talked about before, this is the first show that John Kander has written completely with somebody other than Fred Ebb. The show will feature Tony winner Karen Ziemba, Ann Arvia, Joel Blum, Laura Darrell, Jeffrey Denman, Brandon Flynn, Daryl Jenkins, and Blake Zolfo. Additional casting will be announced later. Kid Victory will begin previews on Wednesday, February 1st, and open on Wednesday, February 22nd at the Vineyard Theater.
All right. Tickets on sale for the big screen newsies.
Yeah, all you fansies out there, the next big milestone on your journey to seeing Jack Kelly, Crutchy, and Catherine on the big screen is here. Yesterday, tickets officially went on sale for the Disney and Fathom Events cinema cast of the musical Newsies. Tickets are $21.30, which is about what you'd have to pay for a standing room only ticket on Broadway anyway, so it's a fairly good deal. The screenings will take place on February 16th, 18th, and 22nd. Based on looking through the theaters in my area, some venues will screen the film on all three of those dates, while others will only have one or two. So make sure you check out the Fathom website for screenings in your neck of the woods. We will have a link to that where you can buy tickets, figure out where they are in your area, and that link will also have the first official trailer in the show notes at broadwayradio.com. All the fansies out there, I'm sure by now you've already seen it and memorized it and watched it 100 times, but just in case you haven't, we've got it over at broadwayradio.com.
All right, what's up in the recommendations?
All right, I've got two videos. They couldn't be more different, but I really enjoyed watching both of them today. The first is my Broadway World colleague, Randy Rainbow. He has a regular show segment, whatever you want to call it, called Last Minute with Randy Rainbow, where he goes and does ridiculous interviews with stars of Broadway shows as they are getting ready for their performance that night. He visited the theater, the Marquee Theater, where On Your Feet is playing. He interviewed Anna Viafanie and Hector Rivera, as well as the two little cute Salsa and Kids. It's really funny. Randy Rainbow has kind of become a bit of an internet celebrity, even more than he already was, because he was really upped his game with some musical political videos around the election. So he's hilarious. A lot of fun. On the complete other side of the scale, Kelly Clarkson performed It's Quiet Uptown from the Hamilton mixtape on the Today Show yesterday. And before she actually performed it, she talked about how hard it was to get through the song. Apparently, her new record label sent her the song to see if she'd be interested in doing it for the Hamilton mixtape while she was pregnant with her son. If you know Hamilton, you know It's Quiet Uptown is about a father grieving the death of his son. She said that did not put her in the best mind when she was reading it, and it's really hard for her to get through it even now without crying. And you could tell that when she sang it, she was very moved. As far as I'm concerned, there is no one better in the pop rock arena vocally than Kelly Clarkson. I also think she could be one of the coolest people. I would kill to be Kelly Clarkson's friend. So check out those videos. They're both really, really cool, very different, but a good way to kind of get a nice little theater fix before you get your day started on Tuesday.
Hey, I just want to throw in a few things before we go as well. On Monday afternoon was the Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS Gypsy of the Year, 28th annual Gypsy of the Year performance. And there's also another performance on Tuesday, December 6th, at 2 o'clock at the New Amsterdam. Yeah, it's at the New Amsterdam. And there's a handful of $30 tickets left. So if you've never seen Gypsy of the Year and you're a Broadway fan and you can get down to the New Amsterdam at 2 o'clock, those are a lot of ifs there. See if you can go. It's really a lot of fun. Seth Rudetsky hosts, and you're going to see many, many of the Broadway casts come in and participate in this. It's always a lot of fun. And also this year, 24-hour warning for Hairspray. So don't forget that it is coming on.
Wednesday night. Trust me, I've been living and breathing it over at Broadway World for the past week or so. I will be doing I will be reviewing it. So my review will post as quickly as I can finish it after the broadcast. We'll also have kind of a live social media updating blog where we kind of look at what Broadway performers and pop culture people are saying about it on social media. But big expectations over at NBC for this one, James. After Fox knocked it out of the park with Grease, Neil and Craig and Kenny and Jerry have really high hurdle of success to cross. So I'm hoping they can do it on Wednesday night.
So Wednesday night, I'm going to be seeing Dear Evan Hansen. And so I'll have to catch up with Hairspray after the fact. But we'll have to see what we can see about that. Matt, maybe you want to come on this week on Broadway on Sunday and give an extended review on it.
If you must, we must.
All right. So why don't you get us out of here?
All right. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio. And you can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt. And subscribe to Something Like a Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
And my name is James Marino from BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. Thank you for spending a bit of your Tuesday with us, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.